It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of the NHL podcast. I am Rahil, alongside my co-host, Safir. And Safir, I'm going to let you do this intro for our special guest because I know you're super pumped about this one.
Yep, we've got the absolute beauty, the legend of NHL esports. We've got Arda with us. Oh my goodness, what a pleasure. Arda, of course, the studio host on NHL on ESPN. Thank you so much for joining us. What an honor.
Boys, really happy for the invite. Safir, good to see you again. We've crossed paths a few times before, definitely at some high-profile tournaments. Rahil, nice to meet you as well. And actually, this is episode 9. Maybe I should have waited for episode 10 or 50 or 100. Like, I should have been a milestone guest, guys. Okay? Now I'm going to be angry Turkish guy. I'm going to change my my Twitter handle, Rahil. I'm going to copy. I'm going to change my handle now.
Oh, man. Well, you know what?
I'm super pumped to be here.
episode 9, I mean, Gordie Howe. Yeah, Gordie Howe, we're number 9, right?
Yeah, fair enough.
That's still pretty awesome.
You know what? I think we can plan ahead moving forward. So I think we can already book him in for episode 20, 30, 40,
yeah, let's
50.
Do it.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
We got to keep
definitely
up.
Definitely episode 100.
Yes.
Yeah, I want some sort of presence on episode 100. Already booked.
Already
so
booked.
We're like, what is that, 89 episodes ahead? I am there.
Yes.
Okay. Love to see
you. For that.
Yeah. Episode 100 is going to be a good one. We already have a great
guest. It's going to be a banger. Already it's going to be a banger, yeah.
Honestly. But listen, Arda, like, I think there's nowhere else better to start off than talking about NHL esports. Like, you've been involved a ton with it since its inception, 2018. And we're just curious, can you reflect a little bit on your experience and what NHL GWC, but also what NHL esports in general means to you, like the initial involvement of how it all started, like what you kind of reminisce about when you look back at, you know, the short history we've had so far, just your overall thoughts on that.
Absolutely. So, I mean, NHL esports, or I should say the GWC, came at the perfect time for me in my career. So at that time, I was still doing some part-time work with ESPN. I didn't sign full-time until 2019, but I was just wrapping up things at MSG Networks. I was sort of contributing to Devils broadcasts, Rangers broadcasts. We finished a show called the MSG Hockey Show, which was sort of like a post game show. Mm-hmm. And that show went away. So I was kind of just looking for things to do. And honestly, when I had heard the initial press release for GWC, I got hyped just like everybody else, because I had done some esports up until that point. In fact, the very first gig that I took at ESPN in 2016 was covering the League of Legends World Championship. Like, it was an esports event. So it was like, wow. I had just fallen in love with competitive gaming and different titles, and had been doing some work through ESPN there. But obviously, I grew up loving hockey. Hockey was my first love, born and raised in Canada, you know, Scarborough, then Mississauga, Oakville area. So, like, I'm, you know, hockey's in my blood, just like all of us, right? So
yeah.
When I heard that, I was like, I need to get involved with this somehow. So honestly, all I did was I found the right contact at the NHL and I sent them an email and said, hey, I've done adjacent work. I called the NHL 94 World Championships. I don't know how much that is of value to you, but I have a lot of hockey in my background and I love video games. And I think that I could be a contribute positively to this tournament. And so then I had a conversation with the powers that be, and it turned into me being selected to do the play-by-play, which was amazing. And I still remember the first event that we went to. It was in Stockholm, and me and Nasher and I had not met each other up until that point. I knew of him. I knew his content. And I remember the night before, like, we were, I think, not that we were apprehensive with each other, but we just didn't know each other, right? So I said, you know what? Bring your laptop, come to my room. Why don't we just call a couple of games? Like, let's just find games online.
Yeah.
Just so that we can build a cadence. And, you know, like, he had told me, I haven't really done broadcasting before. I told him, I don't know the nuts and bolts of this game to your level. And my job in this role is to make sure to activate you so that you can talk about the nuances of this game. What are the experts doing? What are the players doing? That kind of thing. And you knew the scene better than me. I mean, I studied extensively for it, but I didn't know the scene as well as Nasher did because he was in it, right? And so after calling a couple of games, we kind of looked at each other and said, all right, we're going to be fine. Like, it was just great. We had instant chemistry. We were great. Nash is a beauty, as you know. He's awesome. And so we clicked, and it worked out really, really well. And, I mean, we did it for several years. And I will honestly tell you, it is one of my favorite gigs that I've ever had in my entire career. And I've been doing this, 20-plus years in broadcasting. And GWC, NHL esports events in general, is among my favorite memories of anything that I've ever done, whether it's sports, weather, talk show, anything. GWC is certainly up there because it, you know, traveled me around. I hadn't been to Sweden before, which was a lot of fun. I got to meet a lot of fantastic people. I thought that the competition was always a lot of fun to watch. Like, I got into the characters, you know, Saf, yourself included. Like the people are great in the scene, especially at that level when they're competing. Yeah. And so I just got wrapped up into it. So yeah, I have a lot of fond memories. And to your earlier question about like just the growth of it, I mean, that essentially you could see it in like three 1-year chunks, right? Year one was, okay, let's experiment with this. Let's put on a world tournament. The teams are not necessarily involved yet, but this is like our big introduction into the NHL esports scene officially for the NHL. Then year two was almost like, okay, we're going to suggest that every team put on some sort of esports event. And you saw a bunch of teams. Like, I remember doing several. I did the Leafs, the Minnesota Wild, the Detroit Red Wings, many others that I participated in where they did their own in-house competitions. And that was great. Some did them at the rink, at the Jumbotron. So others did it in a suite, like the Leafs did it as part of a game. Some adopted it, others didn't. Some did, I think the Habs did it at a bar. Like, yeah, they just invited everyone. They were like, here, come on in and play. Yeah. Like, there were a lot of creative ways that people were presenting it. And I thought that was really cool. And then the following year, it almost felt like, okay, we're going to integrate the teams now and we're going to make it a more team format, which is, I think, where we all thought this was going to go at the end anyway. And logically it should. There should be a champion for every team, and then they all play each other, and then one champion is crowned. And I'm happy to see where the scene you see as well.
Yeah,
that was honestly a very long answer. Sorry.
You know what though? The long answers are the best answers, man. That is I love that this all started because of an email. Like, I like hearing that
for me,
like,
yeah,
I'm just like, that's absolutely insane to think of. Like, I don't know about you, Safir, but I'm just like, man, I wouldn't have the guts to email anyone to do that.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. And I also have to say that speaking with people like Carlin and Grizz and No Sleeves, they always talk about how, you know, Arda, you essentially carry GWC the first couple of years, supporting everybody, and like, you absolutely excelled in play-by-play. Personally, as a player, hearing the charisma and the energy in your voice always, I feel like, honestly, elevates players to another level as well. So it's always been awesome having you as part of those events, for sure. And you talk a little bit about the teams aspect, right, and their involvement. And I'm always curious about how we're continuing to bridge traditional sports with esports, right? So you mentioned the Leafs working and hosting events for the players playing Chell. So what is sort of the significance of that? And from your perspective, how does that sort of contribute to the inclusion of hockey for everybody?
I think that it's very important. I think that gaming is a very easy entry point, particularly to younger generations. I think that it's also very easy to do. Like, not in the grand scheme of things is what I mean. Like, it does take a lot of work. I'm not taking anything away from the organization of it and everything, but like, to organize a video game tournament or to have a video game showcase at a game, to me, is a no-brainer. That's what I'm saying in terms of easy. Like, the decision to do it, in my opinion, is easy, and then lay the groundwork. I wouldn't be surprised if every team is at least considering or hiring. The Islanders are a great example. So there's Jordan, the guy who heads gaming at the Islanders. Great guy, super ambitious. Has a dream job, by the way. Like, he grew up on Long Island. He's an Islanders fan, and now he gets to head up gaming, which is fantastic. And we all heard the announcement that, you know, the collaboration with FaZe Clan, I'm sure we'll touch up on that in a bit. But, like, imagine him for every team, right? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if either there's somebody in the front office that would occupy that kind of position and add it to their plate, or if there's someone like Jordan that would be hired. And, of course, he started with the Washington Capitals and the Leonsis family and them buying in as well. So there are a lot of people around the league that see this as valuable, as see this as a content opportunity, a marketing opportunity. At the end of the day, you know, people who are in high levels, executives, they're thinking, okay, how can this help with ticket sales, or how can this help with community outreach, involvement? How will this be? What will the response be among our fans? And in my opinion, it would be favorable through many people, and especially younger generations. So I think it's extremely important. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw more and more of it as the years progress. And like I said, it's a no-brainer. I think every team should be, at least, if they haven't already started considering it, they certainly will, whether it's a tournament, whether it's just activations, whether it's themed evenings. I think it's logical.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And what I'm really getting from you as well is that this sort of collective goal or vision of NHL esports and NHL is just to, you know, provides access to everybody, and it helps grow the games.
Yeah. You know what impressed me a lot, too, was the first final that we did in Vegas. Gary Bettman was there, and he stayed for a long time. Like, he watched a lot of it. I know, I believe he came with his grandson. I know that his grandson is a fan of the game. And I think that he, you know, brought his grandson a great time. But, like, just the opportunity for him to see, you know, the competition and the players playing and what it means to them and what NHL esports is all about, I think it is a big positive, you know, from the top down. And I think that there is interest. I think that there is buy-in. I think that, you know, the NHL is certainly going to continue on with it, as we've seen. And I think that it's all positive momentum.
Yeah. It's crazy. I remember Cam, AKA No Sleeps 12. The one thing he always mentions is that moment when he was like, all right, he got told in his ear that this were GWC. All right. Gary Bettman's coming on. He's like,
What?
Like, it's now? Insane that, like, exactly. Like, even that, like, the fact that, like, I looked over and I'm like, oh, yeah, Gary Bettman. And then I'm like, he's on the stream. Like, Saphir, he's on the stream. What's going on?
There he is.
Dude, like, do you remember that one time he was standing right behind us? I turned around and it was Gary Bettman. I was so scared. I was like, oh, my God, it's Gary Bettman.
We were so literally, awesome, like almost fangirling. Like, we're just like... we can't say hi. He doesn't know who we are.
Can I just say that the names you mentioned, so Grizz, Carlin, and Cam, the NHL asked me, like, they said, are you even able to do GWC this year? And unfortunately, I just couldn't with the schedule the way that it was with what I'm doing at ESPN. And believe me, like, I tried to make it work, but ultimately I just couldn't. Like, I had to focus on what was going on with ESPN. But they asked me, like, who would you suggest? And I'll be very honest with you. Those were the three names I suggested. The exact three names. I said, Cam deserves to be the number one play-by-play guy. He's been busting his butt. He's been, you know, he's like essentially the face of the scene at a grassroots level. Like, he absolutely deserves this. Yeah. And he knows the game inside and out. And he's been making this like a full-time career. So he absolutely deserves this. Yeah. Grizz is like the guy you want as the up-and-coming guy. Like, he's grinding. Very same. He knows the game to that degree as well. And, you know, he's been out there putting his time in. Definitely give him a look. And Carlin's fantastic. Like, she's just one of the best people to work with. And she has the hockey connection, of course, being the Kings reporter. She's also in the game, which, you know, is amazing. So, like, it was just so natural. But we've had a lot of great, you know, casters. Like, myself and Nash, we were great. Working with Nash was fantastic. We had, you know, Faisal Kamisa from Toronto on Sportsnet. Mm-hmm. Like, he was a great host for us as well. And he's a hardworking guy. He's crushing it on Sportsnet. He's just a fantastic dude. And then Pete Blackburn, who works with Bally right now. And he's just like his humor is just perfect for NHL esports, which NHL in general. Like, the scene, it's a credit to the scene having him involved, you know? So, we've had a lot of awesome people touch NHL esports as a broadcaster. So it's been great.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I definitely want to echo your words. No sleeves. I remember his initial days, you know, him streaming on Twitch. Just the first few days he was hosting. He basically had a hub for a bunch of small tournaments, right? And it was just awesome that he did that. At the time, it was so innovative because nobody else was doing it, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how I view No Sleeves, as this guy who's very innovative. He knows what's needed in the NHL space, and it's just awesome, like the dedication and the work that he puts into it. Griscoll as well, the amount of times that he spends into studying the players and the style of gameplay, it's blows my mind, honestly. And Carlin's just an amazing person. She threw herself into this sort of unknown world when it comes to like virtual chell and absolutely crushed it, and she worked so hard for it too. And just amazing people and great talents for sure.
I will say this, now that I've talked them up on this podcast, all of them owe me a steak dinner.
I think that's fair. I think that's
you're hearing this.
Okay. Yeah, I will be cashing in when I come to your town. Expect me to be knocking on your door unannounced, and I expect there to be a nice ribeye in front of me within a couple of hours of saying hello.
So are we going to have to owe you steak dinners like down the road, or is
No, it's just them.
Okay,
just them.
Okay, good.
We're safe. I was going to say.
No, we got episode 100. We got episode 100.
I just moved into an apartment a month ago. Okay. Like, I need to balance out first.
We're good.
Oh man.
Yeah, so and really interesting, you mentioned the partnership earlier between FaZe Clan and the New York Islanders and Esports Night. You touched on it a little bit, but what are your overall thoughts about that?
Oh, it's fantastic. Credit to Jordan. Like I said, he's a super ambitious guy. He heads up Esports with the Islanders. I know that this was something that he was working on for a while. And listen, FaZe Clan is a juggernaut, right? Like, it's a content creation machine. Also, their initial house, I believe, was on Long Island. So that's going to be part of the activation, as they get to go visit the old house. And I don't know if they know who lives there now, so they might just be knocking on the door as a surprise, which is even more hilarious. Like, hey, like, I left my initials behind the wall in this closet. Like, let me go see them again. Did you know this? Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I think that's super cool. And yeah, like, I think nights like this are a no-brainer. Like, you have Star Wars night, you have 90s night, you have video game night. It's a slam dunk. Like, it's something that should absolutely be part of the rotation for any team. And I love the fact that Regs and Eki are going to be there. That's always like the big question mark, right? Is unless you can get them all together. And of course, the pandemic was very difficult for that, right? Like, there were a couple of years that Nasher and I did commentary watching a screen at home. And, you know, that was such a different vibe than actually being there. But the biggest thing that Chell fans missed was the fact that the European champion was not able to face the North American champion, right? Yeah. Like, that to me is so important, because you can't crown a world champion otherwise. And, you know, you have obviously issues with lag and, you know, being across an entire ocean. Like, obviously there's going to be issues there. So just the fact that you can bring these two together, and, you know, like, in terms of previous success and the way they're playing today, like, those are the two guys you want to see play each other if you're going to crown an unofficial world champion, right? Like, their resumes speak for themselves. They continue to collect GWC championships. They collect regional or club championships. So let's see it. I mean, the more matchups we can get with them playing, and, you know, essentially the best playing the best, the better. It's just better for the scene in general. So this is a win. This is a home run. A win-win for everyone involved. And I think that what I love the most, like, I'm a big fan of details. I love the fact that the Fisherman logo was altered to have the FaZe logo.
That was
It's
sick.
Beautiful. Like, I think that could be, that has a potential to be one of the highest selling merch items for the whole year for the Islanders, if done right. You know, like, it's just such a clever idea. And again, credit to the team, because it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think we need some merch, Saphir. I think we need to get that.
Definitely. I was just about to mention that. It better be available online, too.
I was going to ask you, Arda, if you're going to be attending, but I'm actually going to throw a curveball and ask you on the spot. Regs or Eki?
You brought it up. Yeah, that's a tough one. I'll be honest. I haven't talked to either of them since the release of the new game, so I'm not too sure how comfortable they are with the new game. I will assume if they are both at their optimal game, I feel like if Eki takes advantage of Regs early and rattles him, Eki will have the advantage. But if Regs gets going, he's like Juggernaut. from Marvel Comics. Like, he's just, you know, Safra, you played him a bunch of times. He's just, whenever he just gets going, it feels impossible to stop. Like, when he gets set up in the offensive zone and he's just cycling at will, it feels like there's five Connor McDavids on the ice and he's just, like, you know, making these passes and, like, he'll skate back up and then now he's going to decide to come through the main street and score. Like, you're just, like, you throw up your hands and you're just, like, I don't know how to stop this. Like, I might be the best defensive player in the world, and Regs is just gonna, you know, go through his own legs and, you know, Datsuk flip or whatever he wants to do. You know, like, he's just that good. So that's gonna be a close one. But if Regs gets going, I would say Regs on that one. But if Ekki can get to him early, then it's Ekki's game. So it really matters what the score is and what their demeanor is at the end of the first period, I would say.
Yeah, I think you gave Saphir flashbacks there. I think he's a little...
Yeah, sorry, Saph. Sorry. Yeah.
I was just going to say, Arden.
You're just like, oh.
Yeah, the most recent GWC, I actually got eliminated by Regs in two games. He swept me. And he beat me up pretty good. Exactly the way you described his gameplay. But you know what? But that's why I'm personally so excited to see these two juggernauts go head-to-head. That, too, in person. I mean... I think it's the first time in years that we've had a Euro champion go up against an NA champ. So exciting.
To imagine the bragging rights. I hope they have a title. Yeah. I hope Jordan has something, maybe a trophy or a title or something to present to them. Like, imagine the bragging rights. Put that in your streaming setup. If Ekki wins, he brings it back to Europe with him in Finland, and he has it right behind his setup, and he's just, like, inviting Regs to every stream, and he's like, hey, bud, come and join me on my stream. Hey, have a look at this. Remember when I beat you? Like, oh, my gosh, imagine the possibilities.
Oh, man, they've already gone at each other on Twitter. It's quite
I cannot wait. I cannot wait. But I'm going to switch gears a little bit here, Arda. Okay. I want to ask you something a little different. So, I mean, the three of us all, I think it's safe to say, we didn't grow up in backgrounds that were 100% hockey. Like, you know, we obviously all live in Canada. We picked it up eventually. But, like, I think it's safe to say that most of our parents, you know, didn't really play hockey back in the day. I'm going to go under that assumption. But so I want to ask you, you know, as being part of a culture that isn't entrenched in hockey, so to speak, what was your experience along the path and kind of, you know, how you got into ESPN? You kind of mentioned that a little bit, but just more so, like, you know, the obstacles you faced along the way, like, just that experience in general. Cause I think that's a very unique, it's not often, like, you mentioned Faisal, but there's not, like, we've seen it more, but I remember when I was a kid, I didn't see that many, like, you know, people.
What are our backgrounds, just for context? So I'm Turkish Muslim. What are your backgrounds?
Afghan Muslim.
And I'm Pakistani and Christian.
Pakistani Christian. Saphir, what were you?
Afghan Muslim.
Afghan Muslim. So we have like this is a great diverse like example of, and Canada's fantastic for that, right? Like it's just a very multicultural country. And I mean, listen, America is too. Like, you can find all nationalities. In Canada, just feels like. Like, especially you walk around Toronto, it's like, I feel like every corner of the world has a pocket in Toronto. You know, you walk around and you'll find it. So all three of you will relate to this then. Like, my father, my parents immigrated from Turkey in the 70s. My father essentially started, like, knew nothing about hockey, didn't even know it was a sport. He came to Canada and he essentially started watching the Maple Leafs as a way to socialize with Canadians. Like, he thought that was the way to integrate into Canada, was just start watching hockey in particular, because he immigrated to Toronto. He started watching the Maple Leafs and he fell in love with the team. He watched every game. I remember some of my fondest memories would be going to Maple Leaf Gardens once a year or once every 2 years, watching games with my dad and, you know, watching games at home and, you know, just caring about the team and developing my love for hockey. And then I played hockey growing up. But you know, even broadcasting, like, anybody who has immigrant parents can relate to this. You know, broadcasting was never an option. Like, I didn't have any friends or family in the industry. Yep. Everything that I did was starting from the ground up, from scratch completely. And my parents were not necessarily supportive of this kind of job. They were like, oh, you don't want to be a doctor? Go ahead and be a lawyer or an engineer, right? Like, that's why I have a degree in math. I went to the University of Waterloo and I have a degree in math and business. And the reason is because I don't think a broadcasting or journalism degree would have flown in my house. honestly. Like, I didn't even broach the subject, right? Because I was too scared to. I didn't want to offend my parents in a way. So I was looking at, you know, mathematics, which they thought they saw as prestigious, you know? So I did that. But then nights and weekends, I'd go to the local radio station or I'd go to the school newspaper because I wasn't out drinking with my friends or anything like that, right? So I'd do that. And then when I graduated, I had a desk job for a few years. I worked as a project manager for a couple companies for, say, 5 years. And then nights and weekends, I'd go to the local Rogers TV back when they were a thing in Peel Region in particular. And I just, which is the one in Mississauga. And I just basically, hey, I go and I say, hey, can I volunteer? And they're like, yeah, do you know how to, do you have a driver's license? Yeah, I do. Okay, why don't you go drive at 5 a.m. to this like 5 km charity run and set up a tent. And here's a wheel that people will spin for like, here's a free pen and here's a free lanyard and whatever. So I did that. And then, but then in exchange of that, I had access to get into the building so I could go talk to the floor director and the hosts and the graphic designers and the camera people. And I just hit the ground. It was School of Hard Knocks. That's all it was. I just went there and I just learned everything I could. And what I realized was I actually wanted to work in the industry. So my first hockey gig was there. It was in the OHL. I did games for the Brampton Battalion back when they were in Brampton. I did that for several seasons. And that was like everything. I did play-by-play fill-in for the late Doug Anderson, who was their voice for a very long time. Color commentary, in between periods, interviews, interviews with coaches, reporter, everything. You name it. It was just because it was so, like, you know, whatever you filled in wherever you need were needed. So I did that for a few years. I did it for the Mississauga team too. It was the St. Michael's Majors at the time. Did that for a few years. And then the Toronto Marlies for the Rogers TV Toronto. And then I got a job with WWE of all places. So I moved to the States, did that for a couple of years. Then I got back into hockey because I missed sports. And then finally ESPN in 2019. And really how the hockey thing came up for me at ESPN was right place, right time, being in the building. I heard the rumors just like everyone else. And just like the GWC, honestly, I just sent some emails and said, hey, I just wanted you to know that I exist. Here's my background. I have several years of hockey. I sent them my stuff and luckily they found it impressive enough to give me a chance. So this is year two. You know, I'm up to, I don't know how many games, maybe 60 or 70 games I've hosted for the NHL and ESPN now. And it's including a Leafs playoff game on television, which is like hilarious, right? Like growing up in Toronto, that would be the dream of many people to do it in Canada. And here I am finally getting to host a Leafs playoff game. But that's amazing. In the United States, which is like surreal in the way, right? It's like, oh, yeah. I did it, but I did it in a totally different country, which is even more funny. But no, it was like one of my career highlights. The last 2 years have been amazing, like honestly. I mean, at GWC, the last several years have been full of great memories. But I have to say, like the last 2 years have been among the most fulfilling of my entire career. So yeah, it's been
that's
fun.
That's incredible, man. Even just like when you talked about just like, hit, like just doing whatever you have to do, like just doing the Rogers thing just to get your foot in there. Like,
exactly.
I remember like when we got approached to do this podcast, like I said to Safira, I'm like, listen, man, like episode one, GWC's around episode one. I'm like, you want to fork out the money? Let's go to Montreal, man. Went to Montreal, met Cam, met so many people. And like,
so good.
It's incredible, dude. How like one simple step is all it takes.
I can't tell you how many times I paid out of my own pocket to go to events just to meet people. That resonates with me. That's so cool, you know? And also, speaking of like diversity, how cool it is that we're all like all of us from different backgrounds talking hockey on a podcast is amazing, right? Yeah. The first time I ever hosted SportsCenter, SportsCenter's been around for 42 years, 1979, right? I think by my count, there are only three anchors ever of Muslim faith that have hosted SportsCenter. Mm. Wow. And the first time that I hosted SportsCenter, I hosted it with another, with the the second of the three. So the first time I can honestly, I'm just going to say the first time ever SportsCenter was hosted by two Muslim anchors. It was me and Nabil Karim, who works with Turner now. And he's awesome. He got many Canadian fans will know him from TSN. Yeah. He's a fantastic dude. Like, just the fact that that occurred for my first SportsCenter and essentially making history on an institution, right? Like everyone knows what SportsCenter is it, like, that's something I will never, ever forget. Yeah. And, you know, like just the diverse backgrounds that exist. Like you said, Raheel, like honestly, that did not exist growing up. And that's such a big inspiration for me. you know, not to talk too much about this, but like, I didn't have that growing up. There was nobody with a Middle Eastern name, anyone from our corner of the world. Like, there were no names like that growing up, right? Like, I can't think of many broadcasters or it was Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was like how many athletes even? Hakeem Olajuwon, Muhammad Ali, like maybe a handful, right? But definitely not broadcasters. So, like, that's very important to me. And now you have a guy on SportsCenter or the NHL and ESPN who puts an umlaut on his O. Like, would you ever think about that, you know? Yeah. Like, when would that ever happen? Like, I would be ashamed to ask 10 years ago, but now they're the ones that brought it up in a commercial break after my first SportsCenter. They were like, oh, sorry, we forgot your umlaut. So we're just going to put it there. And I'm like, times have changed. And you know what? This is a positive movement. It's amazing.
No, yeah, it really is. And I mean, you mentioned, you know, back then it might have been hard to look up to somebody who was sort of like you in this space, right? So you kind of take the charge. But from my perspective, and I know for a lot of people, I'm personally inspired by people like you and you specifically as well, Arda. But also, you know, guys in the NHL, like Nazem Kadri, for example.
Yeah.
You know, they've taken so many strides for diversity and inclusion. And, you know, like me growing up, like in high school, like, engaging with hockey is one of those like very awkward feelings, you know, it's like, you're not sure if you belong in this space type of thing, but to have those people, you know, it's awesome. It makes you feel like, you know, you have a spot in the community.
And what does Nazem Kadri do with the Stanley Cup over the summer? First time ever, he brings it to a mosque in his native town. Like, that's amazing. Like, but diversity, it's growing, which is so inspiring to see. Like, Raheel, like, we now have a South Asian color commentator for Vancouver Canucks games, right? Like, how incredible. Cool is that? Like, even the fact that Hockey Night in Canada Punjabi exists is so good. It's awesome, you know?
Unheard of 60 years ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. I remember.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I remember I would see it on Saturday night as, like, one of those channels that was, like, we're just throwing it on there because we have to throw it on there. And I'd watch it, and my friends would be like, what the heck? Like, what is this? Like, I can't watch this. And then, like, fast forward, like, you know, like, 5 years ago, they're sending me like, yo, did you see that Nick Bonito goal call? Like, this is awesome. This is the coolest thing ever. And I'm just like, it's crazy how far we've come. But I'm just like, I'm so happy for like this generation that they have those to look up to. Whereas we like for me, like growing up, like my like diversity idol, we'll call it, I guess you could say, was Manny Malhotra, because he was the only like hockey figure that was like brown for me.
Right.
So I was like, everyone's like, why do you like Manny Malhotra? He's on the Canucks. I'm like, because he's me. He's my culture, man.
Yeah, so that's amazing.
I'm just really happy for this generation now. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy.
And now Randeep Janda is the color analyst for the Vancouver Canucks, and Harnarayan Singh is doing play-by-play for Oilers games and national games. You know, like, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. We love it, don't we, Safir?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And so in line with that thinking, Arda, I'm wondering, what would be sort of your a take home or an overall message to people who wish to be involved in hockey in whatever capacity that it may be, whether it's, you know, traditional playing on ice or virtual chel, or perhaps a career in sports and broadcasting such as yourself?
If you're passionate about it, pursue it. I mean, you'll want to do it, whether you pursue it as like a full-time job or not. Like I did. I spent my nights and weekends doing it. There will always be something you're willing to replace in your life if you care about it as much as you say you do, right? If you care about it, you're going to find a way to integrate it into your life because you want to do it. It's in you. You want to express it. You want to be a part of it. So you're just going to find a way, right? Like, absolutely. It's just going to happen. Like how you two just told me a story about, hey, you know what? Let's just fork out some money and go to Montreal. Like, you're just going to find the time to do that no matter what else is going on in your life. So to other people watching, you're just going to want to do that because you will care. If you have that desire, my biggest piece of advice is find exactly what makes you happy. So if you want to be on camera, if you want to be a caster, if you want to be a player, if you want to be a producer, if you want to be a graphics designer, if you want to, there are plenty of ways to contribute to both scenes, whether it's hockey, whether it's chel, if you want to be like Jordan at the Islanders, if you want to head up gaming, if you like managing, if you like thinking of creative ideas, whatever that idea is, find people who are currently doing that job and go and ask them questions. Pick their brains. These people are accessible. Trust me. They're, especially when you are reaching out to people one-on-one and you're saying, hey, I admire you. Can I talk to you about your career and just pick your brain? Here's a secret. Anyone who's achieved any sort of success, they love talking about themselves. Okay, this is like a known fact, right? Yeah. So go and reach out to them and cater to that and just say, I want to learn from you. And chances are, if the conversation goes well, they might say, like I say this to a lot of people. I have a lot of people I mentor. I say, just send me some of your clips every couple months or a few months, and I'll happily send you notes and tell me where you are in your career. Is there anything that I can help you guide? Like, I can't help you get a job, but I can tell you what I would have done in those situations or give you some perspective so that you can use that when you are making decisions. Because at the end of the day, nobody can make those decisions but you. But it's good to be informed from people who might have had a similar situation back in the day or even recently. So that's what I would do. And honestly, it's never been easier to create content. Let's be honest. There are several platforms. True. It doesn't matter. The views don't matter early in your career. You know what matters? Consistency. That's what matters. If you say you're going to do a weekly podcast, like even this podcast, like there's an audience for this podcast and they are expecting it a certain day every week, right? Like they're expecting it every week. They're expecting, you know, because they like the content and they want to continue to consume it. Same thing applies for people who are wanting a job in broadcasting. If you're going to create content, a podcast, a vlog, whatever, social media, videos, whatever, consistency is key because people get burnt out after a month or two and their videos don't pop off and they don't go viral and they expect to and whatever. That's not what matters when you're looking for jobs in broadcasting. What matters is consistency, getting those repetitions, knowing what works, knowing what doesn't, learning from whatever the mistakes, whatever the case may be. I can't tell you how many times I would like repeat things in the mirror when we didn't have YouTube to put videos up back in the day. It was called, what it was called? It was called the bedroom mirror. And you look at it and you can say stuff. That's what it was. Like, this is like old school, man. You know? I love that. That would be my biggest piece of advice to people, you know?
Yeah. I think that's awesome, man. Like, even just it's crazy how like everything you're saying is like resonating with like me just based off of this podcast.
Me too, yeah.
Like just like the whole like Just put yourself out there, man.
Is this,
like,
is this the most non-Chell NHL podcast
you've ever done? I think so.
We're so far away from
this is episode 9 is going to be called TED Talk. That's going to be the name.
Art of Talk.
There we go.
Oh my god! By the way, I'm terrible at the game. I should admit that. Saf probably knows. I'm horrible at Chell. Like I'm really bad.
Oh, that very, I can help very you bad. With. That's the one thing I could definitely.
I am so bad at the game. Like it's awful. Here's the secret. Let me reveal a secret. There have been some segments where Nasher and I have had to do like we're playing against each other, and I guess the statutes and limitations have passed on this. We would have like conversations beforehand where I was like, "Can you just let me score a couple goals because I'm so bad." So like if you ever watch those like Dunkin' Donuts promos we did back in the day where we're like preparing for a game and I'm like, "I'm gonna beat you, Nasher. You're nothing to me. I'm gonna destroy you." Secretly, I'm like, "Hey, bro, can you just let me score like on a backhand here? Just pull your goalie, Emmanuel."
Now I know what Safir's going to have to do that for us when we do the NHL game.
Yeah. When you two have to do promos, Saf's going to have to let you a couple soft ones go in. Yeah.
And it's crazy because right when you said that, the first thing I thought of was like, that's the perfect example of like, you just admitted you're not good. Like, I'm pretty good when it comes to sixes, but like 1v1, I'm terrible. But like, you found your way into the space and I found my way into the space. And that goes to show like, you don't have to be a top player to get into this space. Like there's tons of things you listed, like content creation, you know, all those other things you talked about. Like there's different avenues to get into something that you really love. And I think that's what people need to realize.
I love that you bring that up, Rahil, if I may, just to share one aspect of my experience. So, Artie, if you didn't know, I mean, a lot of people in the NHL community, you know, but my family came here as refugees themselves, right? So having access to hockey was essentially non-existent, right? I mean, the cost is just one thing, but this hockey is like entirely new sport. But Rahil, to your point, you know, there's different ways of getting involved. And like, shout out to EA at the end of the day for making this video game because it is a form of access to hockey, right? So to your point, you can get access to hockey as a virtual player, or you're playing in real life, or you're working in sports and broadcasting. So it's just amazing knowing the multitude of ways of, you know, having access to the sport.
I hope that, Saf, I hope that you make it far enough in GWC that story gets told. I remember we would have constant conversations about like, hey, how can we profile players, etc. I hope that story gets told on a national level. Like, I hope I see that one day that the producers do that. That would be awesome.
Yeah. You know what, Saf? even if you don't make it that far, I think we got.
We should just do, yeah. You should do a podcast where you talk about it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, Rahil, to your point about like not needing to be great at the game in order to achieve success in the scene, look no further than No Sleeves.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's garbage at the game.
He's got a top 1,000 sweater.
He's a giant dumpster fire when it comes to Chell. And look at him. He's thriving.
Well, this podcast is going to get a lot of traction because Arda's throwing some shots, baby.
Hey, do you remember 20 minutes ago we said some nice things about it?
Yeah. I was like, that steak dinner's gone, Arda. You've lost it.
Yeah, it's over. Sorry. What do I owe you? Nothing.
Well, listen, we'll pivot a bit back to esports here because you even said we're it's a TED Talk right now. We got to get back to esports a little bit. Not actually.
Yeah, sorry, everyone who didn't want a TED Talk. We could skip forward. We should put like a graphic. Like, if you don't like TED Talks, skip ahead 20 minutes.
Skip to 40 minutes.
Yeah.
But, you know, for esports, I think, especially when it comes to NHL, to go further, like, it is going to be an all hands on deck kind of approach, especially with this year. You know, this is the first full. I know last year we had an in-person GWC, but this is the first like esports calendar year where restrictions are lifted. We're going to be able to have more in-person events and all this kind of stuff. So I wanted to ask you about, you know, you've mentioned Sleeves, you've mentioned Grizz. Mm-hmm. Who are some other people that you think have contributed to the growth or are going to be that like, that are going to help that next like exponential spike in NHL esports?
So I would say Nasher is probably the most important figure of Era One. He was definitely like, he was definitely the most important on the broadcast team because he was the most knowledgeable. He's personable. He, even though he said he didn't have any broadcast experience, the fact that he's a content creator and what he was doing, he was a credit to GWC all along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was fantastic to work with him, and he's always a credit to the industry, no matter what he does to esports and to just gaming in general. He's fantastic. People like that, like I do think that the scene will continue to grow. I think the pivot to teams is a very good one. I think one important piece is going to be the people who are champions for gaming and esports within the organizations. I think that there needs to be at least one person on every team that has a passion for it, such that they will take the reins to organize and be creative with it too. Mm-hmm. FaZe Islanders doesn't happen without Jordan. You know, fun tournaments don't happen without people caring enough to organize them and see the value in them across every team. Mm-hmm. I think those people behind the scenes are going to be very important. I think that the NHL continuing, like they have a great, team behind the scenes as well that is putting this all together, whether it's, Chris Gollier, who is essentially the grandfather of Chell. Of GWC at the NHL, Julie Young, who does the pub PR, who, you know, these people have a lot on their plate already via mm-hmm. their responsibilities with the NHL, but they're also invested in growing esports and making it, big. Peter Bettini works in social media. Like, there's a lot of people that contribute to this on a grand scale that people may not have heard their names because they're working hard behind the scenes. So at the NHL level, the fact that this is continuing to exist, I think a lot of teams are going to take that cue. And so long as it exists, they're going to want to put on their own spins on gaming and esports. And that's going to be very important to me. And I think that this next era, where the teams are involved, where we crown team champions and then the world champion comes into play. In-person events is going to be huge. You could feel, this is the thing, like when I look back on the first several years, we really built momentum from year one to year two. From year two to year three, it felt like if the pandemic had not happened, we were ready. We were on like the precipice of something magical, you know? And unfortunately, like many things, the pandemic, you know, it happened and it derailed a lot of plans and pivoting needed to happen. And listen, credit to the NHL for even putting on an event with multiple people behind the scenes, you know, with all the production staff too, that I haven't even mentioned by name. Like, there's so many people that made this happen behind the scenes, whether it's Battlefy or DreamHack and all the companies that, you know, that have been, that the NHL had been working with. And so all the volunteers and whatnot. So like, I hope that the momentum returns and it reaches heights that it has never seen before, so that it can just continue to be a destination on the calendar, even if it's just the world championship for now, that that becomes a destination. Like, you know what one of my proudest moment, what proudest moments were? Yeah. And it's funny because I work with PK Subban now at ESPN, and he's like fantastic on television. That guy's a star, right? One of the coolest things was, I think it was a few years before he joined ESPN. I believe he was still with the Predators at the time. And actually, I think he was the cover athlete that year. Mm. So the year that he was the cover athlete.
Is that 19?
Might have been 19.
18, I think, maybe.
18, whatever it was. It was one of the years we were live. We were in Vegas. And I remember PK went on stage and did a segment about GWC and then the NHL Awards. This was at the NHL Awards. We had a highlight pack. And I was sitting with, I remember I was sitting with Nasher, and I was sitting with our team, all of our team, and the highlights aired, and Nasher and I, we could hear our voices over Chell highlights at the NHL Awards, and we looked at each other and we were like,
people are like
Gary Bettman's in this room, all the GMs are in this room, all like this, Connor McDavid is in this room, like all these superstars are in this room, and they're watching us do commentary on a video game. Like, this is amazing.
That's awesome.
And it was like, this, what a surreal moment. Like moments like that will stick with you forever. It was like just the coolest thing. And I can't tell you, like, we've had players come to us and say, hey, like, I saw the GWC, like, it, and that was the other thing, is it came on, like, during playoff, after playoff games. That's like, imagine the lead-in of hockey fans that are now sticking around to watch GWC. It was like, I can't tell you how many players have come up to me and said, hey, like, that was a lot of fun. That was pretty cool to watch. So, like, if you don't think that NHL players or people in the NHL and that cat are watching GWC, you're mistaken.
I saw him out of the corner of my eye, and I was like, we can't throw on the podcast, but I was like, oh God, he's just excited to meet you, Arda. That's all it is.
Hello.
His name's Vader.
Vader, nice. Yeah, very appropriate. Very appropriate.
But it's funny you mentioned PK Subban. I absolutely, you know, being a Montreal Canadiens fan, absolutely love him. He was amazing. I wasn't able to screenshot back in the day in like 2012. I'm 99% sure he followed me on Twitter for 5 minutes. because I remember freaking out at home, and I'm like clicking on the icon constantly, and I'm like, I see the check mark, why can't I screenshot that? I couldn't screenshot. I don't know what it was, but
do you think he followed you for 5 minutes, and then he looked at your feed and he was like, nah, this isn't for me, and then he unfollowed you?
I think he saw me tweeting about it. It was like, I'm gonna make this kid's day for 5 minutes. Let's go with that. It was probably the latter, though, if we're being honest.
No. We'll go with your story. It's much better.
Rahil, just send him that video you did of your reaction of the Leafs collapse against the Habs with Steve Dangle.
You did something with Steve?
So I didn't do anything with Steve. What happened? We'll talk about it here for a minute. So I was during the Habs run in 2020. I was live streaming on Twitch, like doing watch parties. So I was like reacting, talking with people. The one big downside was you can't show the game.
Okay.
So what happened?
Didn't Steve showed this?
No. So Steve was doing a watch along on YouTube for Game 6.
Yes.
And I was doing it on Twitch for Game 6 when Jesperi Kotkaniemi scored the overtime winner.
Uh-huh.
And someone stitched Steve's reaction and my reaction together.
Oh, yeah. And I think I remember this.
I pinned the tweet because I'm like, this is amazing. And he's reacted to it. He followed me because of it. And he's just like,
I love it.
This is amazing. Steve,
so here's a behind the scenes GWC thing. I tried hard to get him involved in GWC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The timing didn't work. And actually, it might have been 2020 because he was doing those. Watch a Leafs game. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think. And actually, that series went 7, right? So if that series had not gone 7 games, I think it was around that time that we were actually doing GWC events. So if that series had not gone 7 games, then Steve Dangle would have been a part of GWC that year, I believe. I definitely know that that is the case. I don't know if it was that exact series, but the timing does align in one series such that, or one series of games, and it was probably that one. Mm-hmm. So you can blame the Montreal for all you Steve Dangle fans. You can blame another reason to blame the Montreal Canadiens was the fact that Steve Dangle did not join GWC that year because of the Montreal Canadiens.
Sorry, guys. About the Habs, always ruining our mood. Unbelievable.
Right?
I'm sorry, guys. Safir's got one more question for you. But before we jump to that, Connor, who's our producer in the chat, just said Arda has to pull some strings to get PK to follow Rahel again. Forget the follow. I would love to just sit, like see his face and just like look at him and ask him about it. I just want to be like, did you follow some random Twitter account?
One day, if he's in studio, I'll just be like, hey, man, do you remember Rahel? He'll be like, no. And I'll be like, I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you. And I'll be like, here's your answer, bud.
That's perfect. I'll just be like, hey, PK Subban's heard my name. I'm good.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So our last question here is touching up on the diversity aspect as well. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we talk a lot about access and barriers. Obviously, we're still working on, like, you know, providing an inclusive space when it comes to like discrimination and stuff like that. So what kind of advice would you give to young people who are first sort of delving into the space and who are trying to navigate, you know, a place that sometimes they might feel like, you know, they face discrimination or racism or whatever it may be. But yeah. Kind of a broad question in that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I struggle with this very much throughout my career. I will say that I've never felt more comfortable. That might come with experience, that might come with years. Mm-hmm. That might just come with, you know what, I have a family now and I just maybe some of that stuff just washes off my back now, or I don't pay attention to it, or mm-hmm. it doesn't, you know, maybe building a thicker skin, whatever it is. It you know, unfortunately, there are bad actors out there. Our goal is to try and eliminate those people as much as possible and make as inclusive of a space for all walks of life, all genders, all backgrounds, all faiths, all orientations, whatever the case may be. Hockey should be for everyone, right? Mm-hmm. It really should be.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, it's... I will say that, like, there was once upon a time, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, where I even considered changing my name. I thought that Arda was too ethnic of a name. Right. And I thought, you know what, maybe if I change it to Adam, I'll get more auditions starting out in my career, or maybe networks will call me and actually give me a chance, you know? So, but now I'm like, no, not only am I not going to change my name, I'm putting the umlaut on my O. You know what I mean? Like, that's a part of my identity. Yeah. Like, that's to me, there's more consideration. You know, which is great to see. I think passion shines through. If you love hockey, if you care about hockey, there will be a place for you. You just have to find it. I think for people who are coming into the industry, I think it's a game of patience. Like, sometimes your dream doesn't come true as quickly as you want it to, and whatever, life gets in the way or whatever happens, and unfortunately, you just don't. Like, the passion dwindles, or, you know, it's not happening as quickly as you want it to. And other things, you know, bills or a family or whatever the case may be. There's just outside factors that prevent you from wanting to continue to chase it. You know, you might have to alter your path. It's not a linear path. It's not like from here and it doesn't go like this. You know what I mean? Like, mine certainly was like this, like, mm-hmm. honestly. That's the way it's getting. It's a roller coaster ride. At the end of the day, it's a marathon roller coaster ride, ups and downs, and you have to be able to manage them. You know, when you're at the top, stay humble. When you're at the bottom, stay hopeful. Like, that's really the way that it is. And as it pertains to diversity, be a champion. Kindness goes a long way. Be good to everyone. There's no need or reason to spew any sort of hate. Like, I think, like, the funny thing is, like, to say it, it seems logical, right? Like, yeah. It just seems like it doesn't need to be said, but it does need to be said because it's still happening. Like, how do we keep hearing stories of racism happening on the ice? How do we keep hearing stories of players hearing racial slurs in the stands or getting DMs that are xenophobic during the playoffs? Like, how does this keep happening? It's just, unfortunately, unfortunately, there will be bad actors out there, but it's on us to be on the positive side and to be welcoming of all people who want to be a part of hockey, because hockey is a wonderful thing. It's definitely my favorite sport. I'm assuming it's our favorite sport. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We love it. We love talking about it. We love working in it. We love being around people who also love hockey. And it doesn't matter what they look like or what their background is or what they might enjoy or like or whatever orientation they have. We are human beings that love hockey, and we should celebrate that. And that's why having conversations like the one we just had for the last hour are fantastic, because We're just like-minded people that enjoy hockey. And in fact, a subset of that, we enjoy hockey video games. You know, like that's so cool. Like the fact that they can even find us in a way is a miracle, you know? So that's what I would say. Don't ever lose the passion. There are great people in this scene. Find those people, work with those people, and you belong. You belong. You want to be here? You belong.
I absolutely love that. And I think the big thing too is like, we have to be bigger than the hate that we see and the hate that comes across. Is we actually, you know, there's so many times where I in the past have stooped down to other people's level, you know what? And like, that's, you got to be better than that. You got to be bigger than that. And the reason why too is like, you know, we're all passionate about hockey. I think it's safe for us to all say hockey is not the biggest sport. I would love for it to be one of the biggest sports where like, where I'm talking to my European friends and they're like, huh, what's going on? I'd love for it to get there. And for it to get there, we have to be inclusive of whoever is interested in hockey. Like, hey man, like if you like hockey, I don't care. Like, I'm just going to be, unless you're a Leafs fan. Then that's why.
That's my only one. Shots fired. Once
no,
again.
I live in the GTA. I can't say that. I'd have like no friends. But like as long as like just let's just all enjoy the love of hockey and share our love of hockey together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you need one other thing to unite us all, it's the fact that No Sleeves is terrible at Chell and he's a horrible commentator and nobody likes him in the scene and his merchandise is terrible and he doesn't know how to stream and he like, should I go on or like, I don't know. Steph, what do you have to say about Sleeves?
Well, I was going to say he's got a top 1,000 sweater as a top 1,000 versus
top 1,000 people. Okay. Top 1,000, not top 10, not top 100. You have to like, I am number 987.
He could probably list 1,000 reasons for why, you know.
I don't think I can wear that sweater, guys. I'm going to be blunt. I don't even think I can buy it. I don't even think I'm top of that.
Shamefully, I did buy one. I wore it on SportsCenter Snapchat once. Yeah,
I remember that.
Disgusting. My skin was burning. I had like third degree burns afterwards. I had to like take a long shower after I wore his hoodie.
You're just thinking about the steak dinner down the road.
It better be two at this point. Are you kidding me? The amount of airtime we've given.
No Sleeves, you've got a lot to work on with Arda. Get it together.
But, get it together, man.
So any final thoughts, Safir, Arda? Just, you know, anything we want to kind of say to wrap things up?
Well, just my final thoughts is that I really love the overall message you sent out today, Arda. Definitely well-received with us, and I'm sure it's going to be well-received by the people watching. And the big thing, obviously, I'm also getting is that, you know, at the end of the day, a few bad apples, but there's tons of great people in hockey, you know, and there's always, if you want to be involved, there's a space for you. And it's just, I love that message. So thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. And I promise to everybody, thanks for watching this episode, listening to this episode. I think this is the first time I've ever done anything with the Hockey News also.
Oh, wow.
Grew up loving the Hockey News, you know, read the magazine, big fan. This might be my first ever time doing something with the Hockey News, which is totally cool. I promise all of you that on episode 100, we will keep it strictly to Chell. Okay, it'll be an all Chell hour of just Chell, nothing else. Okay, so get your questions in early, 81 weeks early. For episode 100, and we'll save them for a few months, and then we will reconvene for episode 100.
I'm absolutely looking forward to it, man. I'm looking forward to episode 100 already.
I love it. This is ridiculous. I love it. This has been fun. You guys are great.
No, honestly, Arda, you have been awesome, man. Like, on behalf of me and Safir, like, thank you for doing this. I know you said, you know, you wanted to come on, but like,
this is,
I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I have moments where I'm like pinching myself and I'm like, damn, like when I was a kid, I never thought I'd be able to do stuff like this and talk to people like this. And this is definitely one of those moments. So thank you very much for just all your insight, all just being with us, man.
I will say this. So episode 100, I actually will come on, but also I will happily fill in when Sleeves bails on you. So when that happens, when he all of a sudden bails on the podcast, I will fill in. Okay.
That is awesome.
So keep that in your back pocket also.
Sleeves, you've been warned. You can't bail now. Otherwise, I'm just gonna come. It's going to be the anti-Sleeves episode. That's all it is.
I'm going to have no Sleeves also. I'm drinking coffee. Let's go Sharks. Eric Carlson's being traded. Let's go. Like, we'll just have like a whole like Sharks podcast.
Oh man, that would be, oh man, I'm looking forward to that episode now too. But yeah, thanks, Arda, guys. Once again, man, thank you so much. It was a pleasure. And for all of you that have watched and listened to this episode, we thank you as well. Have yourselves a wonderful night, and thank you for listening.